Welcome to the Go Bucket Yourself podcast. I'm Deb.
And I'm Chris.
We've traded in the ordinary and predictable to discover what the path of authenticity, adventure, meaning, and connection might look like. We're parents of two wonderful young ladies.
We're partners, travel bugs, co-creators, and early retirees that stepped away from predictable paychecks to live our bucket list lives. In this podcast, we share stories of people who are navigating the sometimes messy middle stages of life and attempting to come out the other side, having led a meaningful and authentic life, while steering clear of a midlife crisis if we can help it.
In season three of the Go Bucket Yourself podcast, we're talking about rewriting your story. We're taking lessons from our guests and ourselves to serve as inspiration to help you make your next big leap into the extraordinary.
Thank you so much for joining us, and now on to today's episode. All right. Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Go Bucket Yourself podcast. Today, I'm super excited because I've got a friend and a mentor and someone that's inspired me. And just in the couple of years I've got to know this guy, I can't get enough of him. And so today we have Ali Jafarian. I met Ali through the Front Row Dads group that I joined at the end of 2020. And again, yeah, I could just go on about the amazing things he's done. But first, I'll let you say hello, Ali. Welcome to the Go Bucket Yourself podcast.
Thank you, man. That is so thoughtful. My ego quickly wrestled with the word mentor when you said that, and being like, do I even deserve that? But I will accept it as a gift. Thank you, and I will reciprocate it because I've learned a lot of things from you. Which I'm sure we're going to talk about. And I'm just excited to be here, man. You fill the world with good energy, and I love a lot of the stuff that you've been going after. So I am anticipating what we're going to discuss.
Okay, cool.
Well, this is my first chance to meet you, Ali, and it feels like you fill the world with good energy also. So I'm excited to dig in and get to know you better today. Yeah.
Likewise. Yeah, it was a solid 6 months of just probably running into Ali on Zoom calls with Front Row Dads. But again, yeah, I could just pick up that energy over even the Ethernet cable, you know, as it came into my world. So yeah, so where I'd like to start, Ali, is you and I think it was, yeah, I'm pretty confident that us meeting on the Front Row Dad ski trip, that we kind of took this idea and manifested into getting a group of guys together that had been talking about, yeah, it's been nice being able to be on Zoom calls and all of that. But I hadn't had the privilege of getting in person with other Front Row Dads. And I remember you and Mike Wagner, another Front Row Dad, were talking about just how powerful it is to get in person. And so we kind of hatched this idea for a ski trip here in Colorado. There were eight of us that ended up showing up to that. And one of the things we did this backcountry hut trip. So we cross country skied or snowshoed into this remote cabin, off-grid cabin in the woods. And one of the kind of prompts for that first 3 mile hike in, it was January or February, I think. So we were like, what's kind of a word for the year? And we all went through our word, and it was a beautiful thing. It was like a ceremony that just came out of nowhere, but it was this beautiful thing where we're all sharing our words for the years. We're all giving each other space to hear those words and to question those words, not in like a judgmental way, but just to ask follow-up questions or clarifying questions. And your word was simplicity, which so happens to be an inspiration for season four's theme. And so can you kind of talk us through that? Like, where were you at in your world, in your life, where simplicity had either already made its way as your word of the year, or how you use that as your inspiration for that?
Yeah, I gotta drop back into that moment. I recall being there in the snow and the sun. And to your point, it was a really beautiful moment where as you led and presented the word, like just going around was a really, really cool thing. And feeling back into that, the environment itself almost influenced me to say that.
Yeah.
Simplicity is a word that has just rang through the Jafarian home and my personal life across all different facets. But there in that moment, it was just like screaming, which I just kind of felt. And that's one of the things that I've been trying to be more aware of, is really feeling things instead of thinking them. Because my mind could have gone all different ways and like, well, what have we done? And start calculating, like, what should the word be, et cetera. But just being there with you and the other guys and hiking in a simple way to a simple place for a simple purpose. And I don't want to undersell what happened there during that experience, because it could be interpreted as far from simple, but it's been really refreshing for me to see these as simple experiences. And in many cases, avoid the inverse complexity, because I learned a lot about complexity early on in life. And I realized that it wasn't serving me in ways that simplicity does.
That is a good chance, maybe, Ali, because Chris introduced you. You guys had this, shared this special moment, and have now this deeper bond with each other. But maybe you want to backtrack a little bit and do a little of your own introduction for anyone listening, like who Ali is. What brought you to that point on the mountain, in the sun, in the snow, that made that word simple feel so awe to you at that time?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. I'd love to. So I will try to give an abbreviated version here, in that my story growing up was a awesome childhood filled with competition, academics, friendships. And so I was very active. And I remember as a young adult, when even as a teenager, like learning how to make money and then support myself in healthy ways, because my parents were very supportive. But I just remember early on in life being able to take on a lot. Let's just put it that way. That's a great way to label it. And then that progressed and grew into my young adult years. Even as I started, you know, getting into the workforce and then eventually starting businesses and being more entrepreneurial, I didn't do less. I did more, right? And I didn't realize till recently how much complexity that introduced to my life, in my mind. Even in some ways, it starts to get embedded in kind of, or at least affect your soul, if we're really, you know, talking at a deeper level. And right around parenting, when I first became a parent in my early 30s, it was an all-time max. Just the complexity wheel was spinning, and I was just wired to do all these things across the gamut. And then Front Row Dads came along, which eventually is how Chris and I met. And it really put it right in my face and said, what is happening now? Like, it was the first community I joined where, and as an introvert who didn't join many communities, but the first one that I really stepped into and then got some really cool tools, perspective, and eventually awareness, which I continue to refine, to be like, wow, like, how did I get here? Like, this is a lot. And then in parallel, my wife, Gabrielle, right after our second child, Sepia, came, she started embracing a more simplified lifestyle in just how we run our home, what we do, how we evaluate what we consume, what we waste. We have one car right now, for example. So all types of things that just helped us start to honor a more simplified lifestyle. And then, so keep that story moving. And then as we progress into From Our Dads and then into that hut trip, I remember when this idea came around and a couple other guys kind of planted a seed. And then Chris, which I want to honor you for, took the leadership role and was like, I'll get this going. Here's the thing. And it was one of what I'd call a whole body yes, something I've learned from Conscious Leadership Group. Okay. It's like, the second I saw that, I'm like, I am in for this. I wasn't even thinking at that time about the simplicity, but I just knew that experience is what I wanted more of in my life. And that goes into this deep value around nature that is just very present in the Jafarian home and also in my soul. Like, I love nature. And a lot of what I've learned about myself and just how I want to show up is a reflection of nature, which can be very simple. It could also be complex, you know, in a beautiful way, but nature always kind of resolves itself. And in a lot of ways, like, you can just find the simplicity in that. So I hope that's a fair response to and a fast track version of how we got here, I suppose.
Yeah, I love your words like a whole body yes, because as I struggle with simplicity or boundaries, right? As I seek simplicity, one of my words for this year is ease. So this really resonates with me. And so I've learned that I struggle with my no's, right? I say yes too often.
Like the thing on your face?
No.
Oh, okay.
Other spelling, my no, plural, N-O. So as I know that I struggle with boundaries in that respect, and I say yes too often. So it's really important to be able to differentiate between, like, what is a yes, right? Those are the exciting and enthusiastic. And so I need to know what my yeses are so that I can say no without regret or worry or like fear of, you know, disappointing or upsetting someone. So, like your somatic cue, like a whole body yes, you could feel the yes in your body. That's a really good clue to help someone know what a yes is. Because like we've had other people give us advice on this show. Carl Jensen, I think, in his episode said, if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no. But still, sometimes I'm like, well, is this a hell yes? That probably means it's not, right? But yeah. I like this whole body yes idea. Thanks for that, Ali.
100%, W. And what I will say is that my current coach, whose name is Erica, who is helps lead the conscious leadership group that I spent some time training under, I have to give a lot of credit to them and her, because not only did they create this, which has a lot of similarities to the Hell Yes model, but she encourages and supports me on exactly what you said. It's like, even though you know this and you've gotten better about saying no, virtually everyone can continue to improve that, including myself. Like there's still times where I'm like, that was not a whole body yes. It was a kinda. And then I get into a situation where I'm like, I didn't really want this. And so a very fast thing I've been using is this pause to check in.
Yeah.
My gesture that I learned from Erica is just to put my hand on my heart and really check in and take some moments to really feel it. Because a lot of times you'll know, your body will tell you. And this is also my way of turning off my very active brain that will always want to trick me and be like, sure, just do it. It won't be that big of a deal. Yeah. Like that's nothing. And then a week later, it's like, no, this is something. And I should have listened to the feeling, not the mind.
Right.
Yeah. That's cool. That's powerful. I don't have that reference yet, but I'd love to learn more about that, you know, because right now I think one of the things I'm really using to help define my boundaries is I came up with my like core values for maybe the year, but it feels just like this is at least for this chapter in life. And until I come up with better core values, I'm going to stick with those. And so just kind of using the values of connection, adventure, and growth. And again, my brain, like probably yours, Ali, can trick me into believing, well, those are, you know, like that's adventure, or that's connection, or that's growth, you know, yeah. So say yes to that. So it's not the one all be all that is, if it makes it through that filter, it's definitely what I should have done. But it does help to at least take it from 100 options down to 10 options. And then I need to continue to develop my awareness and my skill set to where I can use something like that, like what you're talking about, or like what Debbie's talking about, to further filter those. Cause I too love the idea of simplifying. And while that was not my word for the year, we obviously chose it for the season 4 theme for a reason. And part of the reason is Debbie and I are on a quest ourselves to continue to test those waters, as individuals, as a couple, as a family of our two daughters, so that we can both expose our girls to many doors, but not necessarily add in that complexity that maybe Ali, you picked up at like you said, at that young age, so that they can determine for themselves that yes, life has so many opportunities and life is glorious. And there's so much things you can spend your time and money and energy on. But, another beautiful part about life is figuring out what, you know, that balance for simplicity, for rest, for ease, and all of that. So, yeah,
absolutely.
So you had sort of like this download, or, you know, this aha in that moment of simplicity. Were you able to take it back home with you and make some changes or some choices, or move forward with that word in mind for the year?
Absolutely. Yep. So aside from us honoring that word regularly, because it is very important to us, one of the things, the changes that I can think about, W, are like, I remember coming back from that trip, and I haven't even shared this with anybody, but just thinking like, dang, I want to do more of that. And then this is again where the mind started going into high spin and thinking like, should I email Chris? Should I say, hey, dude, can I help you? You know, in an effort to serve, not in an effort to be like, oh, you know, Chris, this is what you should be doing, but more like, can I do this with you?
The answer is yes, by the way.
Whole body.
I had just such a amazing experience there for a variety of reasons, the connection, the environment, the way we went about it, which all embodied simplicity in different ways. But there's a big but here. I had to catch myself and be like, wait a second, is this an impulse, which we can learn from, or is this like one of those things that I really feel? Mm-hmm. And in some ways, there is a part of me that really feels like I want to spend more time with Chris and support him on these adventures. But I was aware enough to be like, the old version of me would go email him and get myself into this commitment that I'm not ready for right now, if that makes sense. And this came up in a different way. This has come up in different ways, plural, where I feel something and I get all this great energy from it. And the previous old version of me would go act on that and then find myself with more things, whether it's storing them up here in the mind or just collectively like relationships, which turns into emails and texts and all this communication, right? Instead of just sitting with it and really paying attention and being like, does this want to happen now? Is this really important now? And so that's one of those things where, back to your question, I felt so inspired. And I already told Chris with dead seriousness, like, the next one, just pre-book me. I'll give you a credit card. Like, I'm in for it. But it's also honoring, not getting so far ahead of myself with all these ideas. Cause like I said, they have a place, but they can also get us into that more syndrome, which I don't necessarily want to go back to. So that is definitely what of different, many things. That's what comes to mind, is feeling so inspired for the next experience. And then I'll wrap this thought with being like, having that, let's say that, oh, well, what could it be like to work with Chris on something like this in some capacity? It doesn't mean I just put that away. I just keep it around and give it space until, let's just say, the universe comes back around and says, oh, here it is again. Yeah. That's a newer model I've been working on, is kind of surrendering to these things instead of taking action and trying to control them, which I used to do.
Yeah. I love that. And that's so great to hear, because Deb and I just, we were at this in-person event recently, and kind of the same thing. It's like, I have a couple goals already in front of my face, but I've hit some of my own obstacles or walls. And so then that's what sometimes allows me to say yes or overcommit, basically out of a place of fear of like, oh, okay, I've hit the wall on this thing, so let me go get excited and motivated to do this other thing, which could be a very cool thing and a very, very much part and of my future life and fulfilling. But that's just my tendency, is to be, we just did an interview yesterday on Ayurveda, and I just realized that I'm more like the wind. I just blow around a lot, you know, and I don't like to finish things.
And like avoidance by distraction, right?
Oh yeah. Yes. And so,
which is powerful, can be powerful.
So yeah, I want to just honor that, what you just said there, like, cause I've been in that place before too, where it's like, I really just want to, like, you know, you said you really want to email and say, how can we do more of this right out of the way? But you wanted to, you also know there's other things either in your life at this moment that this would just be adding in a layer of complexity that you're not ready for. And mm-hmm. So I think that's very, very honorable and inspirational. One thing I do want to say is I know, you know, family is a huge value for you. Has that been easy for you and Gabrielle to come to terms on, like what simplicity looks like, individually and as a couple, or is that, how have you guys worked through that?
Very good question. Thank you for asking that. So I'll start with as a couple and then talk about the broader, the four of us. So as a couple, we both really align around simplicity. And like I said before, she's actually led the way as it relates to like a lot of our just home interactions, like how we create a home here in beautiful ways, from decluttering to figuring out how we can live more eco-friendly, and then essentially inspire others, because that is very important to us. Like we are aligned around like just leaving a minimal footprint and trying to live with nature. Now, a lot of that is rubbed off on me. And then we try to demonstrate it for the kiddos who are now 4 and 6, and they pick up on it in beautiful ways. For example, like we went on a walk the other day, Everest and I, and he's just like, "Oh, Dad, wait, I got to go back and get a bag." And I'm like, "For what?" And he's like, "To pick up trash."
Oh,
and I'm
like, man. Oh.
It's like, that's so cool, which he learned from his mom. And it's just a byproduct of like doing the reps and living this way, where it was felt so cool and proud to not have to even ask him that or even say it. He just did it. And this is a great example where I learned from him. And I truly believe I learn a lot more from my children right now than they're learning from me. That's a prime example. Now, what I will say though, just to be very like in full candor, is that there's times where raising children and also the current, what we call adventure theme we're in this year, contradict simplicity. Mm-hmm. So my son, whether it's through DNA or just the way the world has gifted him with his talents and his personality, wants to do a lot of things. He loves more. And I actually kind of feel like I gave him some of that, some of the traits that, you know, I had as a young man. And so he and I have been having some really interesting experiences where I can sometimes even be triggered from his constant, like, "What's next? What's next? What do we want to do? What are we going to do? What's for dinner?" Like he can be a machine. And again, it's just a beautiful, it's a representation of who he is, which I want to honor. But I said, there's times where it does challenge me, because it's not simple to kind of always have a plan and always go from the next thing to the next thing, next thing. One of the things I've learned from that is that the environment we create can facilitate that. So, you know, we've given them, let's say, space and toys and things that they do have a lot of choice. And I don't think that's good or bad, right or wrong. But when I compare that to a child that might live in a different environment, let's say a small apartment with a couple toys, no backyard, well, your options are limited, right? So he's in many ways expressing his curiosity and maxing it out, whereas someone else might not even have that ability. So there's different constraints there. But the other thing that I think is important as it relates to that question, and I mentioned, is like, we've been in this year of adventure. We've got a lot of travel planned, a lot of trips, a lot of experiences. And while it's amazing and it's bringing out a lot of life, it's also not simple. I will say that. And so that's testing me pretty heavily right now. We wanted to honor this because we felt like when we were doing our core values as a family, like adventure came up. Nowhere near the way you guys do it, just to be clear. You are definitely a leader in that space, but it was something that we wanted. And now that we're living it, I'm definitely feeling the friction it creates with simplicity, because it is, even though there's ways to travel simply and to seek adventure in a simple way, I've dealt with a lot of like, I've dealt with more recently and I'm paying attention to that. So.
I think that's good. I mean, to honor those, the balance that needs to come with that, because like you said, adventure and simplicity can seem either polar opposites or at least some level of contradiction. And that's what, there's plenty of times that I will fill our calendar with too much, either adventure, travel, what have you. And then Debbie is sometimes my counterbalance, but that's unfair to put that fully on her. So we're trying to just, you know, foster a relationship, foster our own awareness, foster those conversations with our kids. Our kids are 17 and 12, so they're a little bit older, and they're asking for more responsibilities. But sometimes with these adventures, either when Deb and I leave them and they have to either go with a grandparent, or we've experimented with some alone time here recently, you know, we've had to check in with them, and just hopefully through all of us being open and aware, you know, our 12-year-old did say, like, yeah, that last trip, that was too much to be gone from both of my parents. And so to me, that's just like, that's kind of like Everest saying, like, hey, can we go pick up the trash? It's just like, that's amazing. Even though maybe it's not the answer I wanted to hear, it's the answer that's her answer to that of, have we added too much adventure and put too much of alone time in her plate, in her corner, and not honored the fact that, yeah, she's 12, but she's still, you know, she still needs so her parents around, you know, and so, yeah.
Totally. So I want to emphasize this, because even though I don't know what the exact dynamic yet, because my children haven't reached that age, there is something pure that I learn almost every single day about the way that our children respond to things at younger ages, whether it's their questions, which a 4-year-old's questions are so fun and challenging, because they make you pause. They make me pause and really evaluate, like, how do I want to respond to this? Like, who's speaking to this answer? But then there's also the way their body language communicates. Like, they have so much energy right now in a way that, like, we're just learning, like, why don't we have that energy? And I have a whole different theory on that.
Yeah.
But the way that they communicate verbally and physically around things like this are such a great reminder, again, to check in and be like, shoot, like, did I take on too much? Like you said, did I pack the calendar? Because they'll usually tell, well, they'll tell their truth. Whereas sometimes we hide from our truth, or we skew it enough to just be like, ah, it's not a big deal. And so I think that's such a beautiful and powerful example of where your daughter was like, yo, this is a lot. Like, you might not feel it, but I felt it, you know?
Yeah. And such a really good point to be able to empower her to continue to just speak her truth, right? And not hide it, or hide it from herself. So that was a good lesson. And I just want to say how much this resonates with me, just to illustrate my own work, because I feel like I'm in this fairly frequent battle with my calendar, because I see how much, like, peace I get from having open time on my calendar. And at the same time, I have these other values that are important to me, like adventure, right? Or this isn't one of my words for the year, but sunshine. So those two words made it so that I filled up my calendar at the beginning of the year, and I didn't find the right balance. Like, those were all valuable things, but it was too much, right? So now I'm just like, we're not putting anything else on the calendar. We're not putting anything. We have to have a bit of, like, open time in there, not travel time, not going. Because that is valuable, but we're still working on having the right balance between home time, adventure, and just, like, time that's open, that we don't have anything planned. So that's a good point. There was something else you brought up a couple of times that I think would be kind of fun and interesting to dig into, and that's, like, you called it decluttering, maybe minimalistic, like, lifestyle. I don't know if that feels like the right adjective for you, but I don't know if people always make the connections between, you know, decluttering or getting rid of things, and then what comes of that, the feelings that come of that, right, the opportunities that come from that. So I wonder if you might, it sounds like you've been doing that for a while. So, if you might speak to that, like, whatever you've gained from decluttering or simplifying in that way.
Sure. I'd love to. Yeah. I'd love to share my experience. So the first example that comes to mind, which I think a lot of people could probably relate to, is, like, walking into a clean space. I've met very few humans that like walking into a mess. And we use that word with a negative connotation, like mess. Most people don't say, like, awesome. Look at that mess you created. They're like, damn, this is a mess. And I even say that sometimes when I'm kind of below the line and like seeing the chaos the kids have created, which can be beautiful. But also, like, I've used that exact phrase, like, guys, this is a mess. Like, let's find a way to have some fun and clean this up. This is a mess. So I think that that's one of the first most obvious things that a lot of humans can probably relate to, is that having clean space feels nice. It gives us a sense of peace. It definitely gives me a sense of peace, right? Then a thought that came to mind, W, when you asked that question is food. So something I learned from a mentor years ago, and I was reading this article that he published around like taking a bite of an apple and like really tasting the apple. And where this came into focus for me in a few different scenarios is, one, doing this on a regular basis, where like pausing, and especially fruit and apple, because it's sweet, is a great example of just being with that apple, being with yourself and tasting it and not thinking about other things. That's a pretty rare thing to do. And when you do it, or at least when I've done it, it's been a much better tasting apple than like grabbing an apple, getting in the car, like taking the kids somewhere, or just passively eating, but actually like being present and just biting an apple. Where it comes, where it's come into even more focus, is I always take an apple when I climb 14ers. Mm-hmm. And when I get to the top, I eat the apple, and they're arguably the best apples I've ever had in my life, even though they might just be like a less generic, like less sweet type of apple. But there's something about the symbolism, and then obviously the view, and just the experience of like biting that apple in nature without all the other things. The inverse of that, which I'm still guilty of, is a few times a day walking to the refrigerator, opening it up, looking in for nothing other than to distract myself, right? And then closing it. This is this habit I've done since I was a teenager, and I watch Everest do it now at 6 years old. So that's an example where our mind is kicking in and being like, I can't sit with the boredom. I can't sit with the space. I got to fill it with something. What's in the fridge? It might give me an idea, even though we're virtually never hungry when we do that. So those are a couple of things that come to mind. Then a last thing with decluttering is that I believe Gabrielle got this, or at least learned this from some of the Marie Kondo methodology. But when you start to give things away that no longer serve you or bring you love, like it does make a difference for us. At least like we have a simpler wardrobe or where we store our clothing. We also, there's less decision-making. Like I used to go into the closet and be like, shoot, which shirt should I get? Whereas now it's just like, oh, there's just less, there's only a few options. So it actually makes me happier and gives me more peace during the day. And then there's the triple win of being able to give something to people who actually need it, which I love. Like when I see these big bags full of things that we're giving to people, I don't even think about, oh, well, I used to wear that and I might want that one day. I'm like, this is going to go to someone who truly needs it. And we're going to contribute to not having more people buy more clothes that don't need it. Mm-hmm. So like there's this game that starts to happen that you play. And the more you do it, the more fun the game plays. I feel like the more inspired you are. Because in the beginning, I was like, I saw it as a task, like, I got to find something to give away. Whereas now when these periods come around again, I'm like, cool, let's find some stuff we can give away. So I feel like those are some examples that do this a bit of justice.
Thanks. Thank you for sharing that. I've actually got a really relevant example around for the Immick household this week. So our daughter is getting ready to go on a trip, and we typically, like almost all of our trips are, we all have our backpacks. We have some travel cubes. We pack pretty light so that we can be nimble. Mm-hmm. So 6 months ago I was like, oh, I'm going to get rid of some stuff. So I got rid of her hard-sided suitcase, which I did not realize was actually hers. Like in my mind, it was just like, we've just had this around our house. We never use hard-sided suitcases anymore. Why don't I give it to someone that wants and uses a hard-sided suitcase? So, how that plays out is she's like, where's my suitcase? I'm like, so my immediate reaction is like, I did something wrong. So I immediately almost go into this place of like, I need to be the dad that isn't wrong. And so I you know, started justifying right out of the gate, like, oh, you mean that suitcase you've never used, you know, in the last 5 years, which of course is, you can hear this. That's a very immature way for a 43-year-old to respond to his 17-year-old daughter, which just escalated her. So but then we were eventually able to pull it back down, or I was eventually able to come out of that place of just like, I hear you and I honor that you wanted that suitcase. And I did not even realize that my intention when I gave that away was I thought I was doing something good for our family, doing something good for our house. And I apologize that you wanted that. And then she, you know, she heard that and we were able to move forward. So where I'm going with this is the one lesson I've learned is I love paring down and giving rid of my stuff, but I've gotten in trouble twice now. I give away some of Debbie's CDs from high school.
You threw them in the trash can.
Threw them in the trash.
And they got carried away in the trash truck.
And it felt so good. Like, there's like, we're in the digital age. No one's going to ever listen to these CDs. So I'm just like, yes, I'm winning. I'm doing such a good thing. Then we get like an hour down the road and I'm telling her about this. She's like, you did what? And so then that whole trip was kind of sullied by the fact that I violated that boundary, threw away her stuff. And anyways, so tip number one is, minimizing it can be good. Tip number two, only minimize your own shit, because you can get into some problems.
That's a great tip. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that is interesting, because when I didn't put this together either, because I, in many ways, played part to giving away Claire's suitcase, because to me it was like a crappy suitcase anyway. And now that you said that story out loud, I'm remembering she got that as a special gift before we went on a trip somewhere special with her. And we didn't even like put together that emotional component. We just filled that suitcase up with stuff and like took it to donate, you know? So interesting. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know where that leads us, but Chris's next note is setbacks and pivots. And maybe we can pivot this transition smoothly into something like that you had in mind to ask him about.
Yeah. So I was just, I guess before we move on from that piece, I was wondering, have you and Gabrielle had like any, are you just at a place now where as soon as either of you starts to feel that tension, you can bring that communication up as far as we've had too much adventure or maybe our life's been a little too dull and we want to ratchet up the adventure or the travel? Like, can you walk us through if there has been any imbalance or how those conversations, because I know that occasionally happens a lot in the Front Row Dads community where I'm talking to another dad and it's like, well, I want to do this, but my wife wants to do this. And I know there's some people out there that are, you know, making progress in those realms of being able to have a partner that may not see it eye to eye, but can still have some pretty good conversation around that.
Totally. Yep. Here's what I think we've learned is that there's definitely different seasons literally during the year where our energy levels are different. For example, in the summer months, like now, we have high energy, especially spring through summer. Like spring just ignites us both and we're ready to get out. We're ready to go do trips. I have a higher, let's say, tolerance for velocity. So I can take on a bit more and still be, you know, still feel fairly grounded. Whereas I think she's slightly more needing of balance at home and grounding. But that said, it still takes its toll. And I think paying attention to that regularly is important. So there's paying attention to ourselves and there's paying attention to our rhythms and cadences as a couple. And back to these seasons, as we get into fall, we're still like really full of life and we get to see family. We usually host Thanksgiving, but then winter, we've learned these last few years, is where our energy starts to dive. Especially when we're trapped, we call it trapped, which is a kind of victim mindset, but trapped inside with the snow. And a part of this is that while I enjoy snowboarding and getting out, perhaps even doing more snowshoeing after doing it with you, Chris, she doesn't thrive in the winter months. She doesn't like skiing that much. She does it just to be with family. And so we've really been paying attention to that as we're thinking about the way that we design our year with being at home, travel, time for ourselves, and then also even our home environment, which, you know, like we've been considering a move really heavily, and we have a lot of clarity on that, in that with all the things we love about Colorado, we've learned enough over the years in paying attention to our energy levels and kind of our desires that this isn't a place for us to truly thrive. Now, I think though, what I'll say, you know, to really honor this question is that there are times though, where I think there's some friction, like where, as you pay attention to your feelings, you know, being able to hold space for her feelings versus my feelings is important, because there are, like, in the early days, I was very resistant against moving. I love it here. I love the mountains. I love hiking. I have pride in being in a vibrant city like Denver that's growing, that people want to be at, that where people come visit us a lot because they want to travel and see this. So I had some resistance there, and it took me really listening to her and really feeling that, like, oh, she wants to be by water and this snow is just not her thing. So I really had to listen and hear it more than once and feel it more than once to be like, cool, I can get behind this. Like, there's a transition strategy for us. That's the number one thing I've learned in my marriage, is like, there's kind of like hearing something, and then there's really listening, and they are not the same thing. Like, you can hear something 100 times and not do anything with it. But if you're really listening to your spouse or your partner and holding space for that, for me, that's different than just hearing what she's saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good, I mean, there's a lot of connections there as far as like Deb wanting to be closer to water. And we've played with this a little bit. Like, I'm big on the holidays, the winter holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, is like, let's try to get everyone together and, yep, and everything. And that is like, we're kind of at a place, I guess I'll kind of speak for us, but definitely clarify, Deb, if I go off base here, but we're kind of at a place where we too want to use those winter months as a time to kind of slow down, to rest, digest, heal, you know, those things that that it feels like if we're taking cues from nature, that's what most of nature is doing during that time. But then also just having that way against, like, oh, well, those are the months we want to get away from the cold, so maybe we should travel, like, to Costa Rica or go somewhere warm and all of that. And so that, those are things that I guess we're exploring, is to which one do we do? Do we honor that? Or maybe like the Jafarians, where we actually bring that in, like, well, if cold is part of something that's not serving us well during this winter months, but we still want to honor that it's a time to rest and relax, maybe we don't have to have a very cold environment like Colorado to do that in. Maybe we can move somewhere, you know, a little mm-hmm. south. But
yeah, that's an interesting thought. I mean, you know, these are things we didn't work through earlier in our marriage. We didn't question ourselves in this way or give ourselves permission to question that, right? So not like outwardly victims, but just like, this is the way our life is. This is how it's going to go. And now we have the time and opportunity to question that and work through it. And it does cause friction because we are very different people. And then just giving ourselves to like work through that friction. But now it's like an interesting thought, right? We could just as easily live in a warm place, and we both like skiing. It's not that we don't, but I'm not skiing like 3 months out of the year. Like, you give me 1 or 2 good weeks even, and I'm, you know, like, I don't know, 6 days, I'm good for the year. It's like, you could just as easily fly to the mountains and have a ski trip as we're like, well, how long can we go to Costa Rica? You know, there's other things to balance with that. We do have children and they do have a voice, and we want to honor it as well. So,
and because I'm such a good listener, I think my takeaway oh my is gosh, wherever the Jafarians go, the MX are coming to. I think that's the
yeah. No, both of those are awesome shares, because there's so much gold in there, and I have a lot of truth that relates to both of those. I actually love what you said. Rest, digest, and relax. Is that what you said?
Rest, digest, heal. And I hear it from her a lot. So
heals even better. So yeah. Props to you for creating that, Debbie. Like, rest, digest, heal is so awesome. And it just in real time, I'm evaluating like how to kind of change perspective on these winter months if we were to stay here, if we were to just continue, and instead of feeling that victim mindset, you know, going above the line, being curious with that and being like, well, this is just a time to rest and digest and to heal. Because that's one of the things I'm paying attention to now as we have been honoring a more adventurous schedule and really having less break frequency, let's say. So like even right now, I'm home for like 6 weeks and then boom, off to another small adventure, and then home for a little bit and then boom, off for another adventure. Like there is no 2 to 3 month rest in there, which now, as I'm learning from you all, I'm going to really be paying attention. Like, can I actually rest in a way that like helps me truly re-energize? Because that it could be that I can't, and really paying attention to that. Because that another thing that comes to mind, I was discussing with a buddy on a hike, my friend Kyle, a while ago, is that I've noticed in the winter months, my body also doesn't, I don't feel like I'm my best self in terms of my physical, how I show up physically, even though I'm trying to do the same things. I'm getting the same workouts in. My diet is similar, but there's something about the winter months where I tend to put on a little bit more weight or don't feel as vibrant. And he was sharing some interesting science with me that maps back to nature, to your point, Chris. Like, it is usually a time that animals kind of go into rest and put on a bit more weight and, you know, may not be the fittest, leanest version of themselves, which again goes back to nature. So instead of trying to fight that, I appreciate what you shared, where it just might be the season where I'm going to be a little bit slower, a little bit more sluggish, and, you know, do the double takes in the mirror.
When did that get there?
Yeah. So a big part of like my physical healing was learning about my nervous system and then taking responsibility for teaching it how to regulate itself. And so that's kind of like nervous system speak, but we can apply it to a broader perspective and also know that there are physiological reasons. Other, you know, like we just make less vitamin D in Colorado in the winter months. Mm-hmm. And that has an effect on our other vitamins uptake, right? Like magnesium, things that regulate our emotions and our system. And we can counterbalance that. And then we can also know, oh, this is what my body's going to do at this time. I don't know if I'm in like in full acceptance mode of just like, oh, I'm going to feel down in the winter. I'm still like, how can I?
Sure.
Yeah. But definitely just throughout the seasons, taking time to give your body those opportunities it really needs to have deep rest, right? And then we can go out and adventure, and that's healthy for our nervous system too. Like teaching it resiliency and learning how to regulate itself from those higher energy moments to lower energy moments. So
great points.
Yeah. Agreed. So yeah, I don't have a great segue other than I also wanted to talk to you, Ali, before we wrap things up. We're both in the Front Row Dads community. I think you, or I know you've been in longer than I have, but, I wonder if we could, you know, just kind of talk about what that is meant to us. Maybe give do you want to give a little, like what Front Row Dads is, the community, what it is and why you joined it and kind of like what have been some either impactful moments or impactful takeaways that you've been able to take from that community.
Oh man, is this going to be a
you got another hour podcast? Ready, go.
I know. Thank you. I would love to talk a little bit about that. So Front Row Dads is family men with businesses, not businessmen with families. It's the easiest way to say it. Every time I try to evolve that, it's something cooler. I just mess it up. So I'll leave that there. It's a community of a lot of amazing men. I guess we're like 300-ish now. That are just committed to that. They're just committed to being better at home, better for their families, for themselves, as opposed to spending so much mental time and energy on business, which a lot of us have that muscle and we can do that, but it's this group, mastermind, community, whatever you want to call it. It's just this amazing collection of men and fathers who want to show up better at home. And my journey into it was actually pretty simple. I remember hearing John talk on someone else's podcast, The Science of Success. He's being interviewed And he told it the awesome story I've heard many times now about his son climbing the wall and just how he kind of dealt with that in different ways and what he learned from it. And then I learned a little bit about Front Row Foundation, which is his previous charity, and then a bit more about Front Row Dads. And then I started listening to that podcast. It only took me like a few months of listening to that and being like, how the hell do I sign up for this? Like, how do I get in? How do I get more? Because it was one of those things which doesn't happen too often to me, but where I heard it and just instantly struck by lightning, like, I want this. And then at that point, you know, I got in. I think they were doing open enrollment, opening it, then closing it. And I got in and I was fortunate to get to a retreat pretty early on. And so I got to hang out with 40 other men in San Diego and came home just completely blown away. Like, what was that? For various reasons, the connection, which we experienced a bit of that on our hut trip recently, Chris. The tools. So I just acquired all this new learning and these tools around ways to do things in the family scenario and marriage. So we had some guest speakers at that particular retreat, which talked a lot about our marriage. And one thing that really stands out that I'll just share as an example, another brother, Dan Cassetta, had told me at that in our, some of our small group combo, which he wouldn't mind me sharing, how he doesn't yell. And at this time, you know, Everest was 3, Sepia must have just, was probably a baby. And I was still yelling before that event. Yeah. You know, yelling was a way where I would raise my voice and demonstrate my power and my authority and essentially get what I wanted. That's why I would yell. And it was a huge form of discipline for me at that time. And I remember asking Dan, like, what do you mean you don't yell? And he's like, yeah, I don't yell. And I was, my initial reaction was, why? And he's like, because my mom yelled when I was a kid and it did nothing. That's all I had to hear. It was one of those moments where I heard something and it, I didn't even, not only did I take action, but that stayed with me. And then I was able to share that and influence other men and other people, you know, in their style of parenting. Cause I came home and basically stopped yelling overnight. And not only did the dynamic with Everest and then eventually Sepia, she's grown, change, where I truly feel listened to as a father and I don't need to yell. I never yell anymore, you know, unless it's like an emergency and I have to really like get critical attention, in which case yelling serves a purpose. Aside from that, what I'm really proud about is that also Gabrielle has stopped yelling. And there's just this nice softer dynamic in our household of why yell when it's not doing anything, it's not serving anyone for us, right? So I'm not saying that people should stop yelling. I'm just saying that small thing was so impactful from that retreat. And then we fast forward to today. You know, I've been a member for 3 years. I've had the privilege to go on several retreats of different sizes and types, and they're always amazing. And now the beautiful part, aside from just continuing to grow with the community, is exactly what you helped co-create not too long ago, Chris. It's like now we're branching off and we're having these own like micro experiences that FRD doesn't even have to like sponsor or put together. Like, we just did it. And I want to honor your leadership role in that. It was awesome to be a part of that. And that's where it starts to become really exciting to say like, wow, the community is growing and locally we're close enough where we can go hike or create these small adventures together. That's where I get a lot of energy because like I see it now as like FRD is the home base. It's always going to be there, but now we're branching off with these new relationships and opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. Wholeheartedly. Everything you said has been part of my experience as well. And yeah, I would encourage anyone that's listening. If you're a father and a husband, or you know, there's several guys in our group that are, you know, are divorced and or recently divorced or have gone through divorce, and so it's nice to have that community of people that are going through those experiences. But anyways, it's primarily, you know, fathers, husbands. That's the main reason we're there. But there's six pillars within our community that we just seem like great pillars overall to kind of go through and focus on throughout the year. He brings in some great leaders, but it's a lot of it. It's just the smaller conversations that we get to have within either our band or when we have those breakouts at the training. And yeah, so I'm very much Are you signaling me?
I'm like, hey, I have a question.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Sorry.
I'm curious from both of you, either of you, even though like Front Row Dads was adding something to your life, did it create a bit more simplicity by laying out those priorities for you in that order and reminding you of them on a regular basis? Does that help you simplify by knowing your priorities clearer that way? Or does it feel like it's adding something and you have to question whether, you know, it's worth the time, energy, commitment or not?
The way I respond to that right now is that at first, Debbie, there was this new thing with a sense of commitment that did add in more, no doubt about it. And even one of my personal challenges to this day, which is all about me, is my frequency of showing up. Because in living a more simplified life, I don't like to be in Telegram a lot or check Facebook a lot. And I still carry some guilt and like not showing up for the community as much. But I will go back to what you referenced, that it has absolutely simplified my ability to feel like a better father, a better husband, a better family man, because there's this structure. And there's even, like I said, tools, call them prescriptions if you want, things that I've learned that I wouldn't have gotten to quickly on my own. And that comes through just the support from some of the other guys, the experiences they share, et cetera. So all in all, initially there was this like ramping into the community, learning things, showing up, et cetera. But now it's in this beautiful place where I'm just always grateful that it has simplified my life in many ways. And usually I'll give some plug for John, because aside from being an awesome leader, he's a good friend that I can lean on times, but he's built this awesome community. And I know even though he could love being referenced, he also loves the fact that it's growing without his like, you know, having to be involved in all these other things. So that's my like soft plug for John, because he is a very inspirational guy that I'm blessed to have met, and he's helped me simplify my life in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I would say that for me, the simplification does come. It's nice. Like, I've got my own values and I've got my own projects that I'm working on. But as the pillars change throughout the year, I kind of let that be my guidepost of, okay, this is a good time to double down on the parenting aspect. Because I can't necessarily just like every day come at, I want to be a better dad with the same level of energy. Like I have to work at being a dad, and then I have to kind of step back and take a pivot on some of the other pillars. So then I can either notice the growth, or when it's time to work more on the parenting again, I'm either refreshed or renewed. And so I do like the simplification that it brings. It does bring some extra commitment. I was at a place where after leaving my job, I was looking for more opportunity to connect, I didn't want to get on Facebook just to get on Facebook, but at least feel like I'm part of someone else's life, whether that's asking them questions or giving them my advice or sharing some of my wins. And so yeah, that's maybe not exactly the answer, but it's something that's definitely been beneficial to me, and why I continue to be excited and energized by the community, but also exploring too. As it's grown, it's like, well, crap, it's hard, with, there was, I think, 100 and change guys when I joined a couple of years ago, and now there's 300 plus. So just trying to find that balance of, I can't obviously maintain that many connections. So I'm kind of just choosing to double down with the connections I have, and the universe is sprinkling in some new opportunities of people reaching out to me. So
yeah. Well said. Well said.
Cool. Thanks. Well, I'm glad it gave me the opportunity to have this conversation with you today, Ellie. I really appreciate it. It's been lovely.
Yeah, it has been wonderful, and I could go on forever and ever, and we'll just have to hope that maybe future podcast opportunities are in the future. But before you go, Ollie, so this is the Go Bucket Yourself podcast, and I like to ask our guests, you know, is there something on your bucket list? And I feel always this need to preface that it doesn't have to be like some crazy thing, which actually I think I know there's at least a crazy thing or two probably on your list. Yeah, but sure. You know, it could be like someone the other day was just sharing like not just sharing, but anyway, they were sharing that they want to build a retreat center that has a skate park inside of it. So people come together and can gather themselves and join in community. And also there's a skate park in the middle of the retreat center. I'm like,
in their backyard.
Yeah, in their backyard.
So, all right,
Ali, what is something that's, if you call it a bucket list, great. If not, use whatever your words are.
Oh, I've got one. I've got a bucket list. I've got a dreams list. You know, the one I'm going to say, which may feel a little bit cliche, but it is very true to me, is I want to go to space. And I'm not in a place where I give that a lot of energy. Like, I'm not working towards it per se, but there's things, there's like signs the universe sends me, and there's definitely some energy I feel whenever I am entertaining the idea or learning more about space. And it's just all, I feel like it's ever since I've been a child, it's been something that I've been fascinated with. And I don't even know what it looks like. I haven't started designing it yet with intention, but I imagine it would bring me a lot of joy and a lot of peace if during this life I'm able to experience space as an explorer. So
awesome.
Wow.
That's a first.
That's what I love about this question, because obviously other men have wanted to go to space, but it's a very rare goal, I would say, just like Adam's goal that Chris mentioned, to have the skate park. It's not a skate park retreat center. It's a retreat center with a skate park in it for his own, you know, joy in his backyard. Mm. Those are so unique and so rare. And when we give people the opportunity to answer these questions, I just always think, like, you should be doing that. I've never wanted to go into, like, I've wanted to fly a plane, but I've never wanted to go into space. I've never wanted like a skate park retreat center. And so it's like, when those calls are so individualized in that way, I love to see that about people. Like, it just rings true that we all have our own internal truth and our own reason for being here. And if we really tap into that and follow it, man, it'll lead to some amazing places.
Absolutely.
So true. And thank you both, not just for having me, because this has been awesome. I love your energy, but also just by asking that, I can feel that you inspired something that I might want to give a little bit more attention at some point soon.
Cool. Yeah. So if people enjoyed our conversation today, Ali, like, what is some other way they can either connect with you or connect with the content and the beautiful things that you're putting out into the world?
Oh, thanks, man. I think the best way is my personal site, which is just alijafarian.com. I've spent a lot of time here recently trying to unearth my inner creator, and I intend to keep doing that because it's brought me a lot of just insight and fulfillment. And I'm writing, publishing blog posts. I'm doing podcasts. At some point, I'll have you, maybe both of you, on, which would be amazing. And that's where, you know, I'm just trying to kind of give some value, give some perspective, give some awareness. And people want to check that out, I would be humbled. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, we'll definitely link to your site. And I've picked up several of the episodes of the Pursuit of Something podcast, your podcast. And yeah, it's the energy that you, I think, bring to the world. You've got this excitement energy, but you're also very peaceful and calm. And so, yeah, I've been soaking up a lot of episodes here recently. So
thank you,
check those out. We will definitely link to those. And yeah, thank you so much, Ali, for being with us here today. It's been our pleasure.
Thank you, Ali.
Indeed. Thank you both.
When you hear the word simplicity, how does it feel in your body? Do you feel like you can breathe deeper, think clearer, and feel less pressure physically when you let that word settle in? If so, your body is giving you a signal to guide your life. Simplifying our lives certainly requires saying no, but the thing about saying no is that it takes some clarity. Clarity can be hard to find when we're overwhelmed with all of the less than simple things we've added to our lives. Something a little more exciting is saying yes. Ali talked about a whole body yes, What if we started to use the expansiveness and enthusiasm we feel in our bodies as a guide for what belongs in our lives and what can fall away, to leave more room for what's meant for us? Enthusiasm is full of energy. It brings with it a momentum that means we can actually go further by doing less. Sometimes simplifying means getting really clear about what our yeses are, then letting everything else be a no. Ali helps us understand that our bodies will guide us along the way, and that we might be surprised at how much more we get by doing less from simplifying. May you get present in your body today, friend, feeling into the cues it's giving you. May the expansion or contraction, comfort or discomfort you sense in allowing your body to be the guide bring with it clarity about what is meant for you and what can fall away. And in those yeses and nos, may you begin to envision the life aligned with the callings of your soul, the one meant just for you. Finally, may you find the fortitude, the enthusiasm to answer those calls through your yeses and nos, finding more of what's already yours. Much love to you in the process, today and every day.